Shauna, let's switch into our coverage of the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of people have their fingers crossed that may be approaching the day we can say it's over, but not yet. Let's bring into the stream Dr. Sanjay Gupta. You know him from CNN. He's the chief medical correspondent. He's also a doctor over at Grady Hospital in Atlanta and author of the new book, World War C, Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic and How to Prepare for the Next One. Also want to include in this discussion Angelique Hemlani, our health correspondent here at Yahoo Finance Live. Dr. Gupta, it's an honor to have you join us today. Very simply, what do you want people to know about the decision you made to write this book?
I think I became more and more convinced as we were going through this pandemic and talking to scientists that so much of this was preventable. And that's not even much of a political statement as it is a one based on science and public health strategies that you see around the world. And I thought that was really inspiring. We know pathogens are going to continue to emerge, populations expanding. We're coming in more and more contact with animals. These pathogens will emerge, but that they have to turn into a pandemic again, and we have to go through what we went through, that is not inevitable. And there are strategies that already exist to try and prevent that from happening. And that's really what inspired me to write the book.
Dr. Gupta, Anjali here. First of all, I want to start by wishing you a belated happy Diwali. My mother wanted to make sure I got that message to you. looking at what you covered in the book, I know that you covered everything from, the way that the previous administration managed and responded to it and sort of what we didn't see going on behind the scenes. And I want to talk about specifically Dr. Birx and her travels throughout the country. That was really one way to sort of break through a lot of the necessary information and get that out there. We haven't seen that necessarily now. Obviously, that's not something that we can repeat as a strategy. So how should really the federal government be thinking about ways to better communicate come the next pandemic?
I think that making sure public health departments are really well funded is important, because ultimately the communication, the more local it originates, the better. I mean, people who are in small communities, hearing from people that live among them about what's going on, I think is much better than the dais of the White House or just, from the federal government alone. So I think that part of it is critical. But I will say this also, I mean, part of what I really was struck by was that if we think about potential pandemics, the way we think about defense, as opposed to thinking about it as a natural weather phenomenon, like a hurricane, it's going to come, there's nothing you can do, shelter in place, survey the damage when you're done. If you think of it like that, it's not nearly proactive enough. But if we think about it as we think of Department of Defense, we don't have to litigate all these decisions as we're in the throes of a pandemic. Mechanisms go into place. The funding is there to make sure that PPE and whatever else is necessary is available. All those things just happen behind the scenes to be protected, because I think this is a potential threat and we have to treat it as such.
Dr. Gupta, speaking of communication, how key that is, a lot of this comes down to the misinformation that's been out there, especially, over the last several months when it comes to masking and also when it comes to getting vaccinated. I guess through the thousands and thousands of conversations that you've had over the past nearly 2 years, do you have a better understanding, would you say, I guess, just of why some people are so hesitant, and then a better game plan, I guess, going forward, just in terms of how to combat some of that misinformation that's out there?
I think there are people within the vaccine hesitant or reluctant community who mainly are rebelling against the idea of any kind of mandate. It is a strict desire for autonomy. And everything that is institutional, whether it be the government or pharma or anything, is to be distrusted. And that has existed even pre-pandemic, but I think it's really been amplified by what we've gone through. I do think there's a large percentage of people, as I've learned, that, believe it or not, they just are not hearing, the news. They're not watching you. They're not watching me. They're not reading the newspaper. They're getting most of their information from social media. And I'm not making fun or mocking. I'm just saying that is the reality. So I think it is imperative that people reach into these other sectors of society where people are not you know, necessarily just hearing the same messages that we're hearing on a regular basis. That can be difficult, but I think it's important to make sure we're not just stuck in our echo chambers. And I'll say the second thing just quickly, social media, there's all sorts of things that are wonderful about it. But the idea that we democratize information in a way where it's no longer possible for the average person to tell what is good and what is bad information, is that's alarming. You could search right now, 5-year-old COVID vaccine death, and you'll find confirmation bias and maybe totally junk, not real, but it's out there. And I think we have to make sure bad information is always sort of paired with really good information.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Dr. Gavitha, because my focus on that is there is a lot of pressure on social media right now. We're seeing it as well from the government, and they obviously do play a role in how this information gets out there. But what we've also seen is a rise on the other side. I believe that, you know, in my coverage, I've seen doctors coming to the front to help with spreading information on TikTok, on these other social media platforms. Younger doctors, younger scientists are engaging with these platforms and trying to help, you know, spread factual information. And I just wonder, you know, to your point of, and Dr. Vivek Murthy said this to me the other day, you know, there's so many more avenues to get information right now. And how do we balance that out? It's not so much just a TV doctor, you know, as yourself anymore. It's so many other ways that people can get this information. And that includes some people who may have different viewpoints from yours. And we've seen more insight into the medical community than ever before because of this pandemic. How do we give tips and advice and better prepare, you know, individuals to receive all of this scientific complex information when people within an industry don't necessarily agree on a certain point?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard, and I would not minimize this problem. I think it's in some ways this is my life's work that you're talking about, and it can be very frustrating. I think there's a couple challenges. One is that I think people expect science to be 100% certain, right? It's like math, right? 2 + 2 = 4. They expect science to be the same way, and if it's not, if there's even something that's 90% or 95% or not 100%, people will prey on that. Well, it doesn't work, obviously, right? And that sort of thinking is not, doctors are not immune to that either. They will think about that. They will say that. I think what is important for the average person to do is to think about it in the context of their own life. Vaccine versus no vaccine. Well, what is more dangerous, the vaccine or getting COVID? How likely am I to get COVID? Well, it's a really contagious disease. There's 100,000 children in the United States alone becoming infected every week. So I'm likely to be exposed to this. Which is more dangerous? I think that's an important point. And you'll find across the board, the vaccine is far safer. So I think, you know, we have to constantly be making sure we're explaining things in the full context. And then I will just say, I think scientific literacy has really taken a hit. Over the past few decades, we not only do we not promote scientific literacy the way that we used to, sometimes it's mocked, you know, and I think that's something that if we improve scientific literacy, just how do you look at a study? How do you say something is significant? How do you assess risk? Most people have no idea how to assess risk. I think those basic things could go a long way.
Based on that, what you just said about scientific literacy, and when you have people like Aaron Rodgers who talk about, they say, I did a lot of research looking into my own situation, and we live in an era where that is acceptable. And then a doctor who spends minimum 4, possibly 10 years if they specialize in school learning about these things. How do you get people back to that moment of, look, 10 years studying something is a lot different than doing a Google search?
I don't know how we get back. I mean, there was a poll that came out earlier this year in the spring that I found, a little discouraging, which was basically that the scientists and physicians and healthcare providers were increasingly perceived as arrogant. So I don't like to hear that, but you have to pay attention to these sorts of things. If that is the case, then I think that is a note that we have to pay attention to. And to say, hey, look, I got 10 years of training and you don't, if they're already perceived as arrogant, that's probably not an effective strategy. So I think that, you know, the in terms of getting messages out there, first of all, I think we have to treat this very seriously. And we, you know, if we want to have good messaging out there, the CDC is seen as this staid, boring organization. What if we really improved messaging that came from these scientific organizations and engaged people in their own lives with these messages and contextualize it for them? I think that would be really good. But I think it's on the scientists really to explain things. If you're convincing people to vaccinate their kids, you should be able to explain it. And I think that that's regardless whether you have 10 years of education or not.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta is a chief medical correspondent at CNN and author of World War C, Lessons from COVID-19 Pandemic and How to Prepare for the Next One. We appreciate your being here. Anjali, always good to see you, and we'll be right back.